Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from the real Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, I guess by the mean the real Vancouver is the one that's north of the 49th parallel, down on the Columbia River. And we have a beautiful morning here in Vancouver, so hey, sunshine all over the place.
The Vancouver that was actually visited by Captain George Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest navigators and map makers of all time. Did you know that maps that he made were still being used during the Second World War for navigation?
I guess so.
Yeah, they were so precise.
Yeah.
We have some questions today from our listeners. Our first one comes from Michael. From Michael, hello, Jim and Bob. Many bearish experts in the financial media say that the bear market bottom will be 3,600 points on the S&P with 3,100 as the worst case scenario. The bulls say that the bottom was already in with the June lows. Bob, assuming that this is probably the worst bubble since 1929, could we see a market bottom that exceeds the March 2020 bottom or lower?
Yeah, well, let's stop at that question. Yeah. You're on the right track. I think using targets such as 3,600 or 3,100 on the S&P, I don't work that way. But Mike, you say it's the worst bubble since 1929. It is the greatest bubble since 1929. And the irony is that all of six now, considering ours, each for that generation of players was the greatest bubble in history. Each one has been. But there's many tags you can put on this one to say that it was exceptional beyond anything in the past. The March 2020 bottom, once this rolls over, perhaps in the fall, that would become a target, but the post-bubble bear markets have been nasty. We most are familiar with post-1929, but post the 1873 bubble, I think that one was 5 years. And also, we stumbled ages ago upon a base metal mining and smelting stock index because of course, copper and base metals going up with the 1873 bubble. That was party time. Also, they put on, attempted a cartel and, you know, all that sort of fun stuff. And then it crashed. So this is just off my memory, but that index was something like 450. And 15 years later, it was down to about 50, just 50. I mean, I think ultimately maybe 20. So you can have base metals as a big party item in a bubble, and then they became the unparty item.
Second question from Michael. The U.S. dollar index has come down from its high of 109 in July to 105 today. Bob, assuming this is an intermediate term pullback, what would be a good point to go long again with the U.S. dollar?
Good question, yeah. The 105 level's got good support on the chart. And the other day when I looked at it, we often use the 20-week exponential moving average, and it's at 104.5. So there's very good support at that level. So if one was going to speculate in the U.S. dollar index, in that range, you know, maybe, I don't know, it depends how big you're going and stuff like that, but I think there's very good support, 104.5 to 105.
From Kathleen, we have a question. Hi, Jim. Hi, Bob. The financial pundits seem to be everywhere pushing energy stocks, saying that in terms of value, they're at generational lows. But look at a stock like Exxon, trading almost at its 2014 all-time high, wondering how much upside is left. These energy sector promoters remind me of the line from the musical My Fair Lady, oozing charm from every pore, he oiled his way around the floor. Bob, can these energy sector futurists be right?
No, I don't think so. The mention Exxon being up to its 2014 high. Now, I remember that quite well because 2014, the XLE, the energy stock index, it made new highs relative to the highs in 2008 when crude oil got to $147. And in 2014, I think the high was 106, 107. And that's when I had an article in McLean saying, you know, that that the oil patch was going to get hit by the same discovery process that hit the natural gas business. So we made a good call on that. But what it was financial institutions fully onto the Middle East threat of shortages of crude oil when this was just the start of the fracking that really brought on huge supplies. So, so anyways, will the energy companies outperform precious metals? No, because in a post-bubble contraction, sadly, gold stocks go down, as we've seen over the last few months. But then once the big stock market stabilizes, the gold stocks will not only just go up, but they'll outperform the S&P. And as to all stocks, I think the price of crude relative to the price of oil is going to go down. This is what will put profitability back into the gold business, is the real price, where their gold mining costs decline relative to whatever they're getting for the bullion price. So, no, post-bubble time period is when you can have not just a lengthy bull market for gold stocks, but from time to time, a fabulous bull market for gold stocks. And most others will be dithering around, and I think energy stocks are going to be at the lower side of the performance band.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your attention today. Argentina up central bank interest rate to 69.5%. Argentina's inflation is running at 70%, a 20-year high.
Yep, that's what happens in lesser countries with weaker currencies. And it's always been a problem throughout history in the post-bubble contraction, where during the party time, countries and corporations and individuals take on huge amounts of debt, and then the issue becomes servicing that debt. And even going back as far as the 1550s, when Thomas Gresham, the great trader, was acting as the British government's agent in the money market in Antwerp, in his letters of instruction through to Elizabeth I, dwelled upon the fact that it is very difficult to service debt from your own weak currency into the strong senior currency, and he was very able at times to be able to help out with that. So this then becomes the post-bubble problem, is servicing debt into the senior market, which is New York, and the senior currency, which is the U.S. dollar. So Argentina will be selling things in order to get their hands on dollars in order to service their debt in New York.
Headline, European energy crisis deepens as power prices hit records.
Oh, yeah. There's real supply problems there. Long time, of course, the crazies in Northern Europe have been going for interruptible power with windmills and solar cells and then shutting down reliable power with coal and nuclear, and then also get himself entangled with the Russians. Even Ronald Reagan in the 80s advised Europe to avoid becoming reliant upon Russian energy supplies. So anyways, I think the taps have been pretty well shut down, and there's been a terrific spike in natural gas prices over the last few weeks in Europe, in London, and in North America. So turn them all off, and you're going to get the price to go up. And but perhaps, and it'll be very painful, but the public will eventually instruct the experts on that you do not want interruptible power by way of windmills and solar cells. You want coal, you want natural gas, and you want nuclear power as reliable. And I'm looking forward to it.
Headline, Market Route sends state and U.S. city pension funds to their worst year performance since 2009.
Yeah, yeah. Their pension funds are, there's certain requirements in any pension fund where you have to look after the retirees, and there's actuaries and there's all kinds of things going on there, and you have to get a certain return. And to get a high enough return, they were forced to buy low-grade securities. And then all of a sudden, boom, junk bonds get trashed. And then, so it's put, as the headline says, their return on their investments has had the worst setback since 2009. And that's quite clear. But the problem is 2009 was ending, like March 2009 was the end of it. And now, here, this is early stages in a post-bubble contraction.
Headline, China property woes sparks largest mortgage debt halt.
Yeah, they've got problems, huge amounts of mortgage debt that are unserviceable. They're just not enough money to make interest payments, let alone retiring payments. So, that, again, is post-bubble contraction stuff. So,
well, Bob, wasn't their real estate basically a Ponzi scheme because you had to get people to buy into apartments that nobody was occupying and weren't finished to fund the next growth and so on? So basically it was a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, yeah. It was a party time where people were building huge not just numbers of apartments, but numbers of apartment buildings and condo buildings, and many of them are quite empty. And you know what the maintenance cost, what happens to buildings if you don't maintain them? They start to fall apart. So I can see it sometime, these things being torn down. But way back after the 1873 bubble, which the main focus on that one was railroad stocks, so everybody was building railroads. And then the great Commodore Vanderbilt afterwards said that it was ridiculous for people to be building railroads from nowhere to nowhere. And in this case, they're building in China, they're building not just railroads, but roads that go from nowhere to nowhere. And by nowhere, I mean empty cities at each end of it. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. Oh, this all unwinds. And what causes it is just an absolutely crazy financial mania where you just have to do this and you have to do that. And then it all starts to come apart. So, this is, there's no question the world is in the early stages of yet another post-bubble contraction.
Little taste of irony coming up here. The Inflation Reduction Act will increase middle class and business taxes increasing their cost of living, not reducing it.
Oh, yeah. This is a Democrat bill that is absolutely mad. And what they want to do is to destroy the prosperity of the United States, destroy the middle classes in order to control them. And then we know that throughout all of history that freedom and prosperity go together. And dictatorship, authoritarianism, and poverty and hard times go together. And I'm astonished that the Democrats are so determined to create this disaster. But I think there will be some relief come the November midterm elections. But at the moment, even the Democrats are looking good in the polls. So, and getting a lot of damage done. So, but I think a lot can change. Sometimes, Jim, over many, many decades, you can see that in a boom, the political action goes to the left. And then in a contraction or a recession, people get a little more common sense, and the tide of political opinion goes away from authoritarian socialism and back towards the individual. Also, it goes back towards regionalism. So this is where the federales now in the States and in Canada are dominating provincial or local politics, and I think there'll be a reform there come at some time, helped by the hardship that you get in a post-bubble depression. So, yep, interesting times, but it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and we're looking forward to next Friday.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.